Even people who don't know the Bible well have heard of Samson. Of all the judges in Israel, he's probably the most famous. He was blessed with godly parents who trained him to know and love God. He was also blessed with Spirit-given physical strength to deliver his people from oppression. Yet from the very beginning, Samson demonstrated some troubling weaknesses. Stephen Davey will explore the life of Samson today on The Wisdom Journey. This lesson is called The Man Who Had It Made.
When people today think of Samson, they typically think of a man with long hair and superhero strength, this heavyweight champion who was knocked out by a featherweight named Delilah. But there's much more to learn from his biography here in the book of Judges. In fact, before Samson is even introduced, an entire chapter is devoted to his mother and father. And that's where we begin today, in Judges chapter 13 and verse 1. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now the Philistines will oppress Israel longer than any other nation during the days of the judges. But God is behind this nightmare. This is God's discipline on the rebellious people of Israel who had abandoned him. And even the religious leaders, even the priests in Israel, had become immoral and corrupt. So against this very dark setting, we're introduced to a faithful Israelite couple here in verse 2. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." Well, in the next few verses, she's instructed to raise her son as a Nazarite. According to Numbers chapter 6, a Nazarite was separated to God's service, and he was marked out by certain things like not drinking wine, not cutting his hair, not touching a corpse. Well, she runs to her husband Manoah with this news, and he asks the Lord here in verse 8 for a little more information. So the angel of the Lord shows up again and repeats his message. Now, this angel is what theologians call a theophany. This is a visible, physical manifestation of some sort of the Lord. Now, here in verse 18, after he asks the angel what his name is, the Lord answers, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" Well, let me tell you, this is the wonderful counselor. You know, wonderful could be translated incomprehensible. This is the incomprehensible creator. In fact, when the Lord here in verse 20 ascends upward in the smoke of their burnt offering, Manoah is pretty confident that he and his wife are going to die having seen the Lord. But I love his wife's reassuring words here in verse 23. She sort of pats him on the arm and says, "Well, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering at our hands." Well, all this introductory information about Samson's parents is really a testimony of faith during a dark period of rebellion. The closing verses of chapter 13 indicated here to us that they raised Samson according to God's instructions. Verse 24 says, "The young man grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him." So it's about time now for Samson to begin his public ministry. But then Judges chapter 14 begins, surprisingly, with Samson wanting to marry an idolatrous Philistine woman. I mean, what in the world happened between the last verse of chapter 13 and the first verse of chapter 14? Maybe you've wondered, you know, what happened to your own child between the age of 16 and 17 when that son or daughter began to drive, or maybe when they went away to college. Well, in Samson's case, chapter 14 gives us some clues as to what happened. And as we work our way through this chapter, I want to draw out some important, rather timeless principles for us to consider as well. Here's the first one. Someone can follow external rules and completely lack genuine character. You see, outward appearances don't always reveal inward attitudes. Samson had all the outward external marks of a separated Nazarite. I mean, he's somebody entirely devoted to God, but his heart was far from God. Secondly, someone who ignores inward purity will eventually be governed by outward impurity. And chapter 14 opens by giving us Samson's very first recorded words. He's speaking to his parents here in verse 2, and he says this, "I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." Then in verse 3 he says, "She is right, that is, she looks good in my eyes." Well, she might be a follower of a false god, but so what? She looks good. She's beautiful. You see, Samson is governed by his eyes. Ironically, he'll eventually lose his eyes. Well, mom and dad are stunned by this request. And in verse 3, they ask, "Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" In other words, can't you find a girl who follows after God? Listen, their hearts are broken here. Let me give you a third principle to keep in mind, and this is for all of you parents today. Parents who walk with God might have children who walk away from God. Beloved, it's possible for godly parents to have ungodly children. And that truth is often missing in the average church seminar for parents. As parents, you do everything possible to make your children civil, and you should, and to introduce them to the gospel, and you should. But only God's Spirit can open their eyes to see their need for Jesus Christ. So it's possible for godly parents to end up with ungodly children. And by the way, it's possible for ungodly parents to end up with godly children by the grace of God. And so you raise your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, as Ephesians 6 tells us to do. But remember that if they turn out to be godly, you don't get to take the credit. And if they turn out walking away from God, well, don't take the blame. Only God's Spirit can produce spiritual life. Now, there's one more principle I want you to consider. The failure of God's people never defeats God's purpose. Verse 4 hints that even though Samson is rebelling and wanting to marry a Philistine, God is going to use this marriage here to bring judgment on the Philistine nation. Verses 5 and 6 go on to tell us that Samson kills a lion that attacks him, and later he comes back around and discovers that honeybees have made a beehive in the carcass of that lion. Then, a little later at his wedding celebration, Samson turns this beehive into a riddle. Listen to verse 14. "Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet." Well, Samson tells the Philistine men at his wedding that if they can figure out this riddle, he'll give them all a new set of clothing. But if they can't figure it out, they got to give him a closet full of new clothing, which, by the way, is a rather clever way of getting some wedding gifts that you actually want to keep. Well, of course, they can't figure it out here, so they pressure Samson's bride into getting the answer for them. She agrees. She turns on the tears here in verse 16. "And Samson's wife wept over him and said, 'You only hate me, you don't love me, you've put a riddle to my people, and you've not told me what it is.'" Well, after 7 days of this and 700 boxes of Kleenex, Samson finally gives in and tells her the secret, and, well, she quickly passes on the answer. And now Samson is obligated to get new clothing for all these men. So what's he do? Well, he goes out and he kills 30 Philistines and gives their clothing to the men to pay off this debt. We're told here in verse 19 that the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. Now, in Old Testament times, you need to understand the Holy Spirit empowered people for various tasks. He did not permanently indwell them as he does every New Testament believer today. So Samson has essentially begun his role of delivering Israel. The sad truth is he had wonderful parents. He had incredible potential, but he's already in the process of throwing it away. Well, we're going to have to cover that in our next journey together. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
This lesson was called The Man Who Had It Made, here on The Wisdom Journey. When we return next time, Stephen will continue teaching about the life of this famous judge and pointing out the lessons God wants us to learn from his life. Our ministry is on social media, and that's a great way to stay informed and to interact with us. Be sure and like our Facebook page so that you'll get updates. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and we'd enjoy interacting with you online. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We're glad you were with us, and I hope you'll be with us for our next Bible lesson, right here on The Wisdom Journey.